Coming to you live from a fogged out apartment somewhere in the United States, it's the TH Cinema Podcast. Welcome, everybody, to the TH Cinema Podcast. My name is Dan, and with me, as always, is the everything and everywhere to my all at once.
That was a welcome surprise.
The pay your taxes, mind your business to my keep Will Smith's wife's name out your motherfucking mouth. Snort.
Hi.
Silent John.
Hello.
And Frank couldn't be here today. So, we just finished getting our smoke on.
First podcast smoke of the year.
2023.
Bum, 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum.
And with it being a new year, 2023, we're going to be kicking off a new little mini-series here. We're going to be doing something we're calling the Hall of Honors. So, it's award season. Golden Globes happened. Oscars fucking coming up. And there's a lot of people getting a lot of recognition. But we've got some people that we hold really close in our heart. And the actors we're going to be showcasing in this series are people that not only put out great performances, but they're also kind of underrated in their ability to put out said great performances, as well as these people are just like genuinely good folk. Like, these are nice fucking people.
Well, and we're each like picking our own person. So this is kind of like our little mini awards for nicest favorite people.
Yeah, and the people included in this are starting to get the acclaim that they are deserving of to an extent, but nobody saw that potential in the majority of them when they all started, and that's also kind of like folding into this awards that we're giving out. And to kick things off, Snort's going to be taking the first award nominee.
Okay, do you want to know who my person is first, or do you guys want to know the movie we're watching first?
I want to know the person.
Okay. So, I have picked Emma Watson.
That's a really fun one, because honestly, I don't know if I've really seen her in much.
Are you making me watch Harry Potter?
No, so we aren't watching Harry Potter. And I know it's a weird thing to say that Emma Watson is underrated because she is so popular. Everyone knows who she is because she's Hermione, you know? But because of that, I feel like a lot of her other performances are underrated because people just kind of know her as Hermione.
Yeah, I'm guilty. That's pretty much all I feel like I know her for. So I'm excited to see whatever movie you've picked.
Yeah, I don't even know her as Hermione. I know her as, like, the existence of Hermione because Harry Potter is not my fucking bag. But outside of that, like, she doesn't exist to me except for her cameo in This is the End, where she came in with a shotgun.
Well, and she's a super nice person, too, because she does, like, a lot of, like, world activism kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, isn't she, like, the prime minister or something?
I mean, no, but
or like the ambassador to somewhere or something.
I didn't look that up exactly, but I know she does a lot of good stuff. So, and I think that's kind of what she's focusing on more than acting.
Which, I mean, just overall shows how great of a person she is.
Do you think she's going to do like a political career with this stuff? Or do you think it's more like a charitable, like...
I think more charitable activism kind of thing than political.
She's the closest thing we have to Diana.
Yeah, we'll say that.
That's an interesting and fun comparison. Shoot.
So are you ready to hear what movie we're watching, though?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, guys, today we are watching The Bling Ring.
Okay, what's that?
Have you guys seen this?
I know that it exists, and I kind of have like a loose premise of it, and it's like based on true events. Of, like, people ripping off Lindsay Lohan or something?
I'm pretty sure it's, like, an early A24 movie. That's about all I've got, which, I mean, that's enough for me, I think.
Yeah, that's a good enough stamp to get the engine started.
Yeah, good or bad, like, I'm already intrigued.
Okay, so this is, like, you guys are basically, I mean, you're right. This is, like, I think it was, like, mid to late 2000s, okay? And there's these teenagers that are going into celebrities' houses and robbing them. Okay, this is all true stuff. This really happened. But this movie is based off of an article that was written about that. This kind of like, there's been stuff in it that is like not super true. Like it's like very loosely written. So like even the characters in this movie, they don't have the same names as the real life people.
So we've kind of got like an Anna Delvey type thing going on. Is that like the vibe that I'm getting from it?
Yeah, if they kind of like made it their own kind of way.
Are there ridiculous accents in this as well?
Well, Emma Watson is playing an American in this, an American Valley girl.
Do you think it's easier for like British people to do American accents, or do you think it's easier for American people to do British accents?
That's got to be Brits doing American accents for sure.
You think that's easier? Like, I would think that having to train your mouth to be mostly like a stupid American would be more difficult than talking like I'm fucking fancy.
Yeah, but I think that sounds just very fake. I think that's why there's not a lot of Americans that do British accents in movies. They just get a British person.
Well, and it's funny that you even say that, Dan, because Snort and I actually, I think, just had a conversation like this, like, a handful of nights ago. And think of, like, somebody like Christian Bale or, like, Andrew Garfield. Sometimes you just kind of forget that they're not American because they pull it off so well in movies.
Yeah, I was just thinking that in my head. There is a lot more times where I'm surprised that somebody speaks in British when I see them on the red carpet than the opposite of like, huh, they're not British. But I guess that's because like I don't see a lot of American actors just doing primarily British accents and then actually being American on the backside.
Well, and it's like you said, Snorri, it just kind of sounds faker somehow.
Yeah.
I think the closest we got is like Johnny Depp.
Yeah, probably.
I can see that, yeah.
But anyways, yeah, Emma Watson's a Valley girl in this movie. Fun fact. Okay, so the character that Emma Watson is playing, she had a reality TV show on E! Network called Pretty Wild. It was going to be the spiritual version of the Kardashians, okay? Like, they have their mom and, like, the sisters and stuff, and they're rich and California and stuff, okay? So they start this show, and the second day of shooting is when she gets hit with all the burglary stuff. So then the show turned into that. And guess what? It was a reality show on E! Network. I was watching that live every, like, Sunday.
Wait, so essentially they were doing this other show, and then all of a sudden it became a true crime reality show?
Yeah, but wild. Pretty wild.
That's pretty fucking wild.
They totally lucked out for it to turn into what it ended up becoming. That sounds pretty bizarre.
So, like, we're talking mid to late 2000s. So was this the, like, the Lindsay Lohan, the Paris Hilton, like, all that shit? Like, is that the one that I'm thinking of?
Yeah, it's definitely that. So I think all the crime happened in, like, 2008, 2009, and then this movie came out in 2013. So, yeah, this is, like, my era of, like, teenage celebrities.
That's a pretty quick turnaround for a movie like this, too, based on the story, I guess.
Yeah, there wasn't even any resolution at that point.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that, like, they hadn't even gone to trial or anything by the time that this movie at least was, like, shot and, like, finished. Maybe not released, but at least finished.
Well, I'm sure that probably played a big factor into why they made it the way they did between kind of blending the some of the facts with some of their own twists to it, maybe.
But I'm just excited for you guys to see this movie. It's very 2013, which I was in high school, so this is right up my alley. And yeah, it's just fun.
Okay, I'm interested to see what this is going to be. With the A24 and, like, you know, the true crime aspect of it, I'm sure it's going to be a fun little ride. And you got Emma Watson being an American, that's going to be a Valley Girl American nonetheless.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever heard her with an American accent, so I guess we'll see if this validates the conversation we just had.
There's some fun other cameos in it. There's not a whole lot. There's a couple more people in the cast that you'll know who they are, but other than that, it's kind of just a young group of people.
And Emma Watson just happens to lead the charge.
Sort of.
Oh.
You'll find out.
Expect a Patronus. But with Emma Watson leading that charge, and this being like the showcase, like her performance in this, like, are we talking like these are chops you don't expect from her? Like, what's going on with the, like, or is this just like out of Emma Watson's like wheelhouse of characters to such a high degree that it's surprising?
Definitely more of the second, that this is just like not who she is as a person at all. Like, it's the complete opposite of nice little British Emma Watson, you know? Like, this is going to be valley girl, party girl, just annoying Emma Watson in this movie.
This is the type of Emma Watson that would have been friends with Pauly Shore.
No. This girl is way too good for that.
You've gone too far with that comment, Dan. Emma Watson indeed does not munch on the grindage.
Oh, Emma Watson would leave a party if Pauly Shore showed up.
There, yeah.
Yes, because there is a scene in this movie, too, where I'm pretty sure it's Emma Watson's character says that Jude Law is texting her. So, no. Pauly Shore, hell no.
Jude Law?
Jude Law.
Ooh.
So, I don't know. I just feel so random to have a Jude Law reference in this movie. I haven't even seen it.
All right. I don't think I have anything else I can really... squeeze from this.
Is there anything else you can give us before we go into it?
Yeah, something else we can build off of. So does Jude Law like fucking show up in this? Is he one of those like cameos?
No, he's not a cameo in this. But you do get to go into, so they really did use Paris Hilton's house to film this in.
The scene of the crime?
Yes. Which is
so authentic, A24.
Which is super fun because you get like all of these kids and stuff, they're like stealing like clothes and jewelry and stuff like that. So you just get to see all of these like crazy fun things, hear about all of these designers and all of these clothing things. It's just a very fun, like very in the moment pop culture movie. Like, this encapsulates that time perfectly.
So decades down the road, people are like, you know, what was like 2013 like? Like, just watch The Bling Ring.
It was The Hills, The Kardashians, all
like
these things.
Kind of like how you
can
look back at like 2022 movies and everybody's wearing their masks and stuff. And, that was a weird time.
Well, even now, honestly, I feel like last year alone, we watched like 3 or 4 movies where people were wearing masks. And it's just, I don't know, it's weird to acknowledge it in film for some reason. I know we lived it, but it's still like too... Kind of like 2008, Bling Ring comes out, then in 2013, like, this all just happened. Like, give it a little bit longer.
Can you imagine if every movie from the 1920s was just the Great Depression? Like, everybody just sad and standing in bread lines. Every movie. Wizard of Oz, well, I guess Wizard of Oz is kind of. Do people, like, from the 1920s look back and be like, yeah, that was a weird time. The Dust Bowl.
Unfortunately, I don't know how many of those people are still around to ask. But probably, yes, they probably felt the same way. I'd like to think so.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure I feel that way about that era of time also, because that was definitely the, like, just on the post-cusp of rap rock and Girls Gone Wild era. Like, the whole Paris Hilton, Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, yeah.
That was a sad time for society as a whole.
Yeah.
Wait, did you
very dirty and gross.
Did you say rap rock? What did you say?
Rap rock, like The Biscuit. Keep rolling, rolling, rolling.
For
what?
Whatever reason, my mind went like the LMFAO band, the Shots one.
Oh, God, yeah, that was a weird like 18 months, and they just came down and dropped some bangers and then flew back to their planet and they're gone.
Just disappeared, vanished.
Hey, is Limp Bizkit, are they from Florida?
I feel like Fred Durst might. He might be.
I don't think they are. I'm going to check it after this just to verify. But I want to say they're from, like, Detroit. No, that's Kid Rock. Kid Rock's from Detroit. Maybe, like, Cleveland or something, I hope.
Are you sure it's not just, like, California?
Oh.
They just kind of seem like they might be from Florida.
I've got Limp Bizkit in my algorithm because I'm Googling it.
I can't believe this is something we're actually looking up.
Established 1995.
It's fucking Florida, isn't it?
Jacksonville, baby.
Bortles.
I have a Florida radar. I can just tell if someone's from Florida.
I know that you don't want to believe it, Dan, but are you really surprised? That's why they want to break stuff. It makes total sense.
If you ever find yourself with a problem, get a Molotov cocktail, you throw it, and boom, you got a different problem.
But hey, look, you can add Limp Bizkit to the long list of things that you can be proud of from your home state.
Limp Bizkit, Jason Mendoza, and a homeless man who ate another man's face while he was on meth.
Ooh. Was that the bath salt craze?
Oh, yeah, the zombie guy. That was in Florida.
What a fun time to be alive that was. People were like, zombies are real. Like, it's going to happen. They're going to eat us. Like, people genuinely believed.
I feel like that was the same time as the bling ring. I think this is all looped together.
Well, the bling ring is just giving us so many great memories.
Oh, if my day keeps going this way, I just might break somebody's face tonight. Give me something to break.
So come and get it.
Okay, it explains. Man, I know a lot more Limp Bizkit lyrics than I probably should admit. And Fred Durst being from Florida, I understand it's just in the DNA. It's not my fault. I was born this way. I can stop feeling shame over it.
He's your Florida brother.
I mean, honestly, it does give me fond memories when I think about the era that Limp Bizkit was a thing. Like, you always just can't help but think of, like, wrestling and shit like that. Like, I don't know, there's fun involved with the biscuit, right?
Oh, I'm just so shameful of myself right now. You've really, yeah.
I'm just really proud of myself.
You pegged him well.
Belle, do you want to watch our movie?
Yeah,
to rinse the Florida off?
I need to get my mind off of this thing, because, yeah, no. All I've got is visions of $3 bill, y'all, in my head right now. I gotta get some different noise.
Well, don't worry, because we are taking a trip back to 2013, Hollywood. Are you guys ready to watch Bling Ring?
Yeah, as long as I don't leave with a fat lip. Sorry, one more.
I mean, when you get into these kind of true crime cases, it's all about the he said, she said bullshit.
Dan, I think you better quit.
Talking that shit?
You'll be living with a fat lip.
Let's go watch The Bling Ring.
Yeah.
And now, our feature presentation.
I bought the movie, and we smoked our snacks, and we're back. And we just watched The Bling Ring.
Or would you call this, like, Kleptomaniacs Running Wild, brother?
Oh, yeah.
Cha-ching!
Yeah, so this was Snort's pick. And showcasing Emma Watson. At the beginning of this movie, I definitely had a, when is Emma Watson going to show up in this Emma Watson movie? going on. Because I didn't realize that was Emma Watson for a long time into this movie, which is a testament to Emma Watson in this movie.
Yeah, the accent that she pulls off here is one of those ones that I hated it. It's like, I hated it in a good way. It was, maybe it's that type of person I don't enjoy, and the fact that she did so well, I was pretty blown away by it.
Yeah, she is just like all of the girls on all of those TV shows in that time. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, full-on audible guffaws when she took the stage and the accent came out of her mouth. I was taken aback by it.
Once again, the Brits just do it better when it comes to our accent.
Okay, and I do need to confess, I don't know anybody's names in this fucking movie. And it's not because I didn't like the movie. I liked the movie a lot. I thought the movie was very, very good, very well done. That A24 stamp on the beginning of it, definitely deserved. I don't know anybody's name because I fucking hate every single person in this fucking movie so fucking much.
You know, Dan, I couldn't agree more. And I had this realization about three-fourths through the movie that when the hatred was really setting in and it had simmered for, you know, over an hour now, I was just disappointed. Because then I realized, like, these are real people. Like, this all happened. Like, the stupidity on the levels that it was true. This is a true story.
I had the exact same feeling, probably around the exact same point as you. I had that realization that these were real people. It made me even more mad. But this is one of the first movies that I can remember where I didn't care about the characters. Like, I watch movies where I don't care about the characters because I just don't care about them because they're not good characters. I actively wanted these people to get their comeuppance. Like, it was like a Titanic moment, and I was waiting for the iceberg to fucking win.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. When they were so shocked that they were going to jail, like, well, sorry, folks, if it isn't the consequences of your own actions, what the fuck did you think was going to happen? Like, you pull it off once, okay. You kept going back to, like, Paris Hilton's house, what, four times? The gall. How do you think you're going to get away with this kind of stuff?
The brazen disregard, okay? I'm not saying I didn't, you know, engage in some shenanigans in my teen years. Not to that extent, obviously. But my crime background was more like, I'm going to hide in the shadows and smoke a little bit of weed and hope I don't get caught. That kind of stuff. Not like, I'm going to rob fucking millionaires' house. I'm going to steal a car. I'm just going to drive around in a stolen fucking Porsche. The fucking gall these kids had.
See, I'm in a conundrum with these people because, yes, I hate these people. They're the worst. But man, there's a part of me that's like, I could sit down. I could have hung out with these girls and talked about celebrities and fashion and stuff for so long.
Snort, I hate to break it to you. You would have been part of the bling ring had you known these girls. You would have gotten sucked into this. You are very susceptible to cults already, and this was a little cult of crime.
I see. Okay. In a normal situation, yes, I do think so. But I have never been a fan of stealing. Like you said, I'll dabble with the law. But I was never a thief. Not my thing.
So are you trying to say you think you could have stopped this from happening if you were in this little clique?
No, I just wouldn't have participated.
Okay.
I would have been like, well, have fun. I want to see the pictures when you get back.
You would have been the girls at the party.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's like just going around and telling everyone just, oh my God, like you are the worst fucking criminals. And there wasn't a redeemable quality about a single one of them. At least like, I've watched movies with, like, shitty people, true crime, like Bully, okay? Yeah. You've got Bully, which is, like, a true crime murder story that takes place in Florida. Limp Bizkit represent. And at least, like, one or two of them felt bad about what they did and didn't want to do it in the moment or, you know, kind of got roped into it in the wrong way or something like that. All these people are just in on it and fucking living it up and not giving a shit. And, you know, I'm an anti-capitalist. I don't believe people should have the stuff that Paris Hilton and Lindsay Lohan had in that day and age. But still, like, if you're going to steal, at least, like, wear black and prowl around in the dark with a flashlight, I guess.
But then they got to the point that they're still going to steal, but they were going there more to just hang out. Like, it was their house.
Yeah, when they were in, like, I think it was Paris Hilton's, like, nightclub room and just treating it like they own the joint. All I'm thinking is DNA everywhere, all over that pole, all over the seats. I'm like, you just didn't think about anything before you went into these places.
Paris Hilton's house, you don't know what you just sat in anytime you go in there. So I knew a little bit about this story, but I honestly thought that, like, these kids just kind of, like, wormed their way into the Hollywood Inner Circle parties and stole while the parties were going on or some shit like that. I thought that was the whole basis of the story. I didn't know that they were, like, literally going into these celebrities' houses, breaking in. Like that. Like, not breaking windows, but, like, you know.
So
they just let themselves in. That's all they did.
It was very nonchalant. Yeah, they just acted like they belonged. And for a while, it worked. I mean.
Well, even before that, like, it starts with them just, like, going around checking, like, car doors, you know? Mm-hmm. And then just fucking taking a car. Finders keepers.
Just the thought of just driving around is such a I don't know. I feel like if some celebrity's car is stolen, it's a pretty easily identifiable car that you're just confident enough to drive it down the streets of, what is it, L.A. or whatever?
So what I've read is that, like, so in all the rich neighborhoods, they don't lock their shit, obviously.
Yeah, what the fuck? Okay, and yeah, some of the blame definitely on the Lindsay Lohan and the Paris Hilton. Because the used bookstore down the street from me has a fucking motion detector that, you know, calls the police when something's going wrong. Not only do you leave your doors unlocked, you don't have any alarm system. You don't have any... And you've got that... Oh, come on.
That is one thing that blew me away. It wasn't until, like, the fourth or fifth house where somebody finally had security set up. I'm like, I get it. Where you live, you're amongst people like you. You don't expect it to happen, but that doesn't mean it can't.
See, but that made me even more mad because that's just brazenness on the other side. Like, yeah, I can just leave my door unlocked. I live in fucking Hollywood. Who the fuck cares? Same as these kids being like, oh, I'm fucking rich and pretty. I can break into these houses. Who the fuck cares? You know? It's just all over. It just... I hated every single person in this fucking movie. Even the mom. The mom and her Scientology homeschooling fucking bullshit. The secret, whatever. Every single person in this movie. Like, I've never been so pleased to see a police officer in my life. Like, at least there's a good person around.
Do you want to know my fun fact about this movie? That police officer that knocks on the door and stuff, he's the actual police officer that went and arrested... So Emma Watson's character, her real life name is Alexis. That cop is the one that went and arrested Alexis and stuff. They got him for this movie. And I don't know exactly, but it did something to, like, the case. Like, it fucked shit up. I don't know exactly how and stuff, but, like, it was a big ordeal because he lied about being in this movie to his boss, but he was like, yeah, really, oh, in this movie,
okay,
shooting
so
his
I
shot.
So I retract my previous statements then.
He's just as bad.
Just as bad. Irredeemable person.
I mean, but between getting, like, some authentic houses and even the authentic cop, I mean, that's a pretty good way to tell the story, I suppose. That was some good gets.
Yeah, can we talk about the houses for a second? So the first house that they were walking into in the opening shot, which I guess was the... house they stole the picture from in the last one? Was that Lindsay Lohan's house?
No, I think the first one that they stole from was, like, his friend, the guy's...
No, the first shot in the movie where they were stealing, she was carrying the picture out. It was the same house that they stole.
Where they first get caught.
That's Orlando Bloom and Miranda Kerr's house.
Okay, yeah. So when they were initially robbing Orlando Bloom's house in the opening scene and everything, where they were carrying the picture over the gate... I knew Emma Watson was in this movie and was like one of those people. And when she's walking, when they're walking around with their like little hoodies on around the outside of the house, I was getting like full on James Franco, this is the end vibes. Because like in that movie, she goes to James Franco's house in a greenish hoodie and breaks in with the shotgun or whatnot.
Yeah.
And the house looked very similar to Franco's house. So I want to say that was probably the most tastefully appointed house though, was the Orlando Bloom house. Because the Paris Hilton house... Which was that actually her house?
I'm pretty sure. I think I read something online that it was. So
like
I
you
mean,
can shoot here if I can cameo in the bar scene about
maybe yeah.
Her house was just the tackiest, most ugly fucking thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, I felt like it was a tad bit absurd. I'm really dying to know what you think of her house though.
Oh, I hate it, but I see how in 2008 and stuff. That was the fucking shit. Like, I could see how that was amazing then. 2008 me probably would have been like, oh my God.
Yeah. Well, I think even current you is like, oh my God, looking at the closets.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So that brings me to, okay, I had this question. I had this thought. Okay. I think we've all established that none of us are thieves. That's not our kind of thing. But if you were to break into a celebrity's house, and you're stealing shit. Where's the first place you're going? Because I am going to the closet.
Yeah, I'm going to the closet, but I'm not taking things that are like meticulously placed in a specific order. Like Paris Hilton, how do they break into your house 5 times, take shoes off of this giant rack where you've got everything color coordinated and sitting there like backlit, and you don't come home from your party in Miami and go, huh, there's 7 pairs of shoes missing. Because I know that because every day somebody puts them all up the right way. Like, how do you miss that? How does that just, like, gloss over you?
Because you have so much other stuff you're looking at.
Yeah, that's what I kind of feel like. I think it just plays into the fact that it just doesn't matter to people like that in that position. Like, any one of us would notice if I had a wall of shoes and four pairs are missing from the top left. That's the first place my eyes go. But when you're barely at home and somebody just probably gives you shit to wear sometimes, like, you could just pay for new shit and it doesn't even matter.
That's why Lindsay Lohan noticed shit was missing, because she grew up Florida trash.
Yeah, because it took four times for Paris to notice something was missing. Right. It was like all of this like jewelry and I think it was a Louis Vuitton bag that went missing, and that's how she knew.
Can we just go back to how dumb these kids are for one moment, since we're talking about Paris Hilton's house? They were going to steal her dog at some point.
You know what? I'm pretty sure if they had stolen the dog, Paris wouldn't have fucking noticed.
Oh, no. She wouldn't have noticed that so fast.
Yeah, that dog had a contract at that point. We're talking 2009.
Dog was the source of income. Come
it's
on.
Got obligations.
How funny that the dog's name was Peter Pan, though, because her real-life dog is Tinkerbell, you know? You guys don't know Paris Hilton's dog's name?
I blocked it out of my memory, and now you just resurrected it by saying it out loud. You've invoked Tinkerbell in my head.
Did you guys ever watch? Did you watch Simple Life?
Yes, I was alive in 2007 also.
I mean, I'm aware of it, but I never watched it.
Oh, I loved that show.
Tick. Okay, my favorite house-related thing, though, was the fucking long shot.
Oh, of them, like, in the house, and it just kind of gradually
when they robbed zoomed into Audrina Partridge's house.
Yeah.
That shot just stayed for, like, 2 minutes straight, and you're seeing them run through all the rooms and the glass windows. The direction in this movie, Sofia Coppola, hands down fucking phenomenal.
That's what makes me like this movie so much, is because, like, yeah, all the characters are terrible. Really, the whole kind of idea and everything around the movie is stupid, and it's just like a big eye roll. But just the way the movie is shot and everything is what makes it like a good movie and not a really cheesy Lifetime movie, because this story could be that very quickly. I think they actually made a Lifetime movie about this.
I would 100% believe it, given this is based on not like a book, but an article, I'm sure.
And you know who plays So the guy in real life, his name is Nick. You know who plays Nick in the Lifetime one? Austin Butler.
What?
Elvis himself?
Yeah.
Wow.
I read that on my way over.
Well, that's quite the twist. Huh.
Anyways.
No, to touch on like the cinematography of it all, yeah, there's a lot of just really good shots that just kind of linger on these kids, you know. Definitely soaking in the moment that they're in, like in the club, where it's just like, for us, in our perspective, it's just awkward to watch them. But, I mean, they're really just immature kids trying to fit in and trying to, like, claim their status. And, I don't know, I liked how like you said, Dan, she told such a good story just on some of these shots.
You know what one of my favorite shots is at the end when one of the girls is sitting with her family in the kitchen, you know, and you just hear the sirens getting closer and closer, and it's just like, just that. Oh, man, so good.
Yeah, all the comeuppance scenes at the very end as the kids were getting arrested was just... part of me enjoyed it because of the anticipation of waiting for it to happen and wanting it to happen so bad, but just so beautifully, beautifully well done.
Yeah, and I realized that in the beginning of this podcast, I said that I don't think they knew the stuff, like the outcome of this when they made this movie. No, I was just high. I forgot the whole ending of this movie, even though I watched it this week.
See, and I honestly, I wasn't super into this movie at first. It definitely took a minute for me to kind of feel like we were rolling. But it was the ending of it all that really kind of made me enjoy it. Because I think this is where, like, Emma Watson specifically shines in this movie. Like, I think it's Vanity Fair who she's interviewing with. That scene with her and her mom. I was just like, okay, like, you're really killing this now.
Yeah. I think I went the other way. From the get-go, I was like, okay, this is fucking interesting. What the fuck's going on here? And about halfway through the movie, I kind of started to lose a little bit of, like, steam and interest in it.
Mm-hmm.
But when I came to the realization that that was because I hated these people so much, and that... they are going to get arrested. They're going to get arrested like that. And that's when I started being like, okay, now I'm back into it.
Right. You're 100%. Seeing the shitty people face the consequences, and it's just brilliant.
Well, I think this whole movie is just kind of like a slow burn also, and just because it's so repetitive. Like, they go to a house, they steal stuff. They go to another house, they steal stuff. Like, that's kind of what the whole, like, first two-thirds of the movie is.
Yeah, it's like it's happening again. They're still getting away with it.
But at the same time, it definitely feels intentional, because to bounce off Emma Watson's Vanity Fair interview, and then it goes to that Mark kid, and he's talking about how he has all these new followers, you know, 800 new friend requests, and he accepted all of them. And that part's exciting, but at the same time, he feels wrong about why he's getting the fame. And it's a nice, like, commentary on how America just glorifies so many shitty people. And this movie came out in 2013. That still rings true today in 2023. So many shitty people get put on a platform today.
Yeah, I really thought the Mark character, whoever, was going to be the one that had the turn. Was it Mark?
I think
the
guy
that's
name.
Like Evan Peters, yeah. But not yeah. Evan Peters.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought he was going to be the one that had like the redeeming turn at some point of like feeling bad about what they were doing.
No.
But then it was just, all of it was just paranoia of being caught.
Pretty much.
Well, and guys, there's a Netflix special, like a docuseries that came out like a couple months ago of the Bling Ring, and the Mark character, his real life guy, is in it, and Emma Watson's character is in it. And she talks about like her, like how she's on drugs and all this and stuff. And then, but he's still kind of a piece of shit, I think. He's very much like, still wants to be famous kind of thing. And he got something for like aggravated, like stalking. He's a shit person.
Yeah, that checks out.
Yeah, and as much as I hated the movie portrayal of these characters, it's tough for me to want to watch the actual characters in a series of some sort.
Yeah, I'm sure the real life humans are worse than this.
You know, another kind of weird thing with this whole story, and I think you see part of it in the movie, and then now we're even having it in our conversation. So, Emma Watson's character, she was like on the cover of everything about the Bling Ring. Like, everything was like her sister, and the guy, okay? But she wasn't even like the main person doing it all. It was the Rachel girl, but it's because she was like a semi-known like socialite already and everything. And look, I feel like you kind of see that in the movie a little bit. Like, she carries the movie because she's Emma Watson, you know.
Yeah.
And then even in our conversation now, we've only talked about her, not the Rachel girl that was leading the whole ring.
And she, like, I think she's like shown before Emma Watson. She's shown as like the mastermind from like the beginning. And
oh,
yet,
yeah.
Yeah, she is the main character of this movie. It's a lot of her and Mark and her and Mark stuff. Like, Emma Watson just kind of pops up here and there as like a tertiary character in this.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's just a whole nother layer I didn't expect to find in this movie.
Interesting.
So Sofia Coppola framed the movie as real life is framed. Like, all the marketing and stuff is all Emma Watson. And the character that Emma Watson portrays is the one that was the A-lister of the group.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. That makes me enjoy it a little bit more, honestly.
Yeah, it's just a different kind of take on it.
Well, let's get even more meta into this movie. Did anybody else get a little freaked out when Emma Watson's Nikki character was saying, like, her aspirations for the future and how Emma Watson's kind of living all of those?
Well, now that you mention it, wow.
When she was doing that monologue for the Vanity Fair thing.
Right.
And she starts getting into, I want to, you know, maybe lead a country. I want to go and help the world and find world peace and clean energy. Like, all that kind of, like, I don't know how, but I'm going to. Maybe Emma Watson just got, like, so into this character that
no,
Alexis's
absolutely not.
Nikki dreams became Emma Watson's dreams. Or do you think Emma Watson just hates this character so much that she's like, I'm going to live the life you pretended you fucking wanted, bitch.
No, I'm not giving anything credit to what Emma Watson has done in her life to this character.
Probably want to keep those things far apart. Snort, I was curious. Can you, are there things you can like fact check that you know? Like, I have a question.
Yeah, well, what is it?
It's, of course, it's with Emma Watson's character. Is it true that the character she portrays she shared a cell or whatever with Lindsay Lohan. Is that a real thing or is that for this movie, like towards the end?
I'm pretty sure that's a real thing because even the guy that's interviewing him at the end with that, that's a real guy that like interviewed celebrities at that point at in that time period. I'm pretty sure that's real.
How in the hell does that even happen? What?
Well, they're both just like held in the same facility. You know, that's LA Correctional, LA County. It's all one jail.
It just feels like such a weird coincidence at just at the same time. I don't know. For the stars to align that way, it feels odd.
Stars being a very loose term in
this.
Yeah. So I did have one reoccurring thought throughout this entire fucking movie.
Oh, yeah?
Where the fuck were these kids' parents? These were high schoolers. How are they? Like, I understand it's 2007 or 9 or whatever, but they're literally in bars drinking and getting DUIs. Like, again, my criminal misbehavior, my youthful era, was usually limited to I know somebody whose friend has an apartment that we can hang out with, and that person's older brother can buy us beer. I know I didn't grow up with a silver spoon in my mouth and I was from the armpit of Florida, but still. Where are these kids' parents?
Nowhere to be seen. Just being rich somewhere.
Scientology, maybe? I don't know. That's an excuse for one of them.
See, even more hatred. I hate the fucking kids in this movie. I hate the fucking celebrities in this movie. I hate the parents. I hate the cops. I hate everyone in this movie so much. And that's what made it good.
Yeah, I will say, I'm going to have you guys watch videos of the mom because Leslie Mann sounds just like her.
Oh, that's what I picture or imagine is just the worst. Ugh.
Just insufferable.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
You don't like the celebrities, though? This?
No, they brazenly fucking just left their doors open to be robbed. And they're fucking super rich and... I don't like them anyways.
I don't know. I find it hard to believe celebrities just keep a spare key under their doormats. That...
She really did because
no, I believe it.
The Rebecca girl in the movie, in real life, she ended up like putting the key, Paris's spare key on her keychain. And Paris just put another key, or probably some of her people or something, just put another key under the doormat.
Oh, that's what I mean. I can't believe it, but it's Paris Hilton, so I can believe it. It's just still mind-boggling to me.
It's all just mind-boggling. Like, while you were talking about that, I just realized again that they, like, roped their 13-year-old little sister into crawling through a door. Oh, God, you fucking garbage humans. Such a well-done movie.
Don't you just love when movies make you feel shit?
Well, I'm saying, like, you know, wrestling heels. When they come out to the booze, they know they're doing their job well. I know this movie did its job because of how much I hate everyone in it.
Yeah, I don't think I can rewatch this movie, but, like, that's a good thing for me. Like, this isn't like I'm disgusted with. It's just like it ran its course. It was great, and I'm going to let it be.
Yeah, and in the end, all these terrible fucking people get their fucking comeuppance, but not enough fucking comeuppance, in my opinion, because I, you know, terrible fucking people.
With Mark's character, when he gets on the jail bus or whatever, kind of felt like we were ending this movie and going into an episode of, I think it was called Beyond Scared Straight, with the kids, the really shitty kids get sent to prisons to try to, you know, fix the problems.
Yeah, he definitely looked out of place in that line.
He's just like... A very tiny boy in a row of very burly, scary men.
Yeah, he's not going to do well in there.
He's just not cut out for jail.
And yeah, and that was The Bling Ring.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys liked it, at least. Like, you may be more mad after watching it, but you still liked it.
Yeah.
I like that I'm mad. Like, it's a weird feeling, but it worked.
Well, and a lot of that comes out of the performance of Emma Watson, because... As the series is showing, you know, honorable, lovable person, early on career, great fucking performance when she needs to bust out the fucking guns, not just Hermione.
Yeah, to see a pretty, you know, great human being play such a despicable human being, I mean, that's, sometimes that's all you need in a movie, and I, makes me want to, you know, visit more Emma Watson movies. If this is the kind of chops she can give us, what else can she do?
She can do everything.
Yeah, the fact that she did it so effectively is a testament to her abilities. And that's kind of the theme of our entire... Wait, what did I call it in the first half?
Hall of Honors. Oh.
And that's the theme of our entire Hall of Honors miniseries that we're doing. So very good pick, Snort.
Thanks.
A plus.
And coming up next on our Hall of Honor journey, we're going to be doing a Dan pick.
Well, do you have any little sprinkles of info you can give us? What your pick is?
Yeah, so my pick's going to kind of go the opposite way than the Hermione pick went. Because this person is currently getting a lot of accolades for a performance. But when you go to his earlier work, you can still see the brilliance in it. But you can also see how you would never expect what he's doing now to have come out of him. And a genuine nice guy in life and in Hollywood.
Is that all we get, or are you going to tell me who the hell it is?
Well, John, we're going to be diving back into the storied career of Michael Keaton.
Your favorite Batman?
My fucking Batman.
Are we watching Batman?
No, we're not watching Batman. Okay. It's not Christmas.
Hey.
No, we're going to be watching Michael Keaton in, like, a comedy. Because Michael Keaton used to be the comedy guy. Like, even, like, post, like, Beetlejuice. See, yeah. He was still always a comedian. But there was a time in his career where his comedy kind of, like, people were tired of the Keaton shtick. You know what okay. I mean? Like that when he started dropping off. This was the cliff that he jumped off of before you got to be the Birdman.
Hmm.
And get the rise back up to the Michael Keaton that he is now.
So we're watching the downfall of Michael Keaton?
We're watching the last good thing he did before he dropped off the face of the earth.
Gotcha, okay.
Pretty much. We're going to be watching a movie called Multiplicity.
Called what?
Multiplicity.
I don't think I could say that three times fast.
Well, Michael Keaton definitely can, because Michael Keaton plays not just Michael Keaton, but he also plays Michael Keaton and Michael Keaton.
What?
What?
Keaton's so nice, we'll do it twice?
Three fucking times.
We'll do it thrice?
Thrice. Three Keatons, no holds barred.
Three Keatons enter, one Keaton leaves? Or all three still
no, it's
live.
Still a good movie. It's still okay. A happy movie, you know. Okay. We're not murdering Keatons here.
I know, I get it, but I'm just trying to set my expectation for the triple Keaton.
I've never heard of this movie.
No, this is a fun movie with Michael Keaton and clones, and it's a fucking joyride. Yeah, I'm pretty sure Minnie Driver's in this also, but she's very much outshadowed by the multiple Michael Keatons that are running around in this film. And it's fun, and it's a comedy, and yeah, Michael Keaton. My Hollywood nice guy.
Michael Keaton is just an absolute delight, so I'm really excited to get to see this. Yeah, because I don't know if I've ever heard of this either.
Yeah, and I haven't seen a lot of, like, older Michael Keaton stuff, so this will be fun.
Yeah, and it's off the Beetlejuice, Batman, Michael Keaton path that exists, you know? It's not in that county. This is in the woods outside. 40 miles from the county line.
I mean, I don't know. Sounds like my kind of movie.
All right, but that is going to do it for this week. So if you want to follow along on our Hall of Honor,
make sure to follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at TH Cinema Podcast. If you have not already, give us 5 stars. Leave a review on Apple, Spotify. We're on iHeartRadio now and Amazon and Stitcher. So check us out there.
Or wherever you find your podcastings at.
I think the real question is, where aren't we anymore?
Oh, we're everywhere, everything, all at once.
I just love when the beginning comes back around.
It's like we're stuck in a fucking time loop. But we do have a lot of really great stuff lined up for 2023. We have a lot of great stuff coming up. We got Oscar season. We got fucking summer programming. We got more fucking horror movie in the fucking fall. We're doing it all.
All with a new logo.
All with a new logo, a new brand. We're going to get some merch out there for some merch lovers.
It's our way or the highway, folks.
That's right. TH Cinema Podcast. Our way or the highway.
Put it on a t-shirt.
Yep.
Thanks, Limp Bizkit.
All right, but that is going to do it for this week. So if you see three people sneaking into Paris Hilton's house, It probably wasn't fucking us because we're not terrible fucking people, but we were probably, you know, smoking weed at somebody's apartment three fucking blocks away. And we're really, really high. Come over and say hi. That might just be us. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Goodbye. I found it. Can I show you the picture real fast? I want you to see how big the rocket was. That's pretty sizable.
Okay, there's just a penis on the screen. Thanks, John.
Took it right to the dome. Mouth was open and everything. I think it's fucking The Ringer with Johnny Knoxville.
Can we go get some ice cream?
When the fuck did we get ice cream? That's what I think of. Which, you know what? That movie's honestly, it's not bad.
It
can be questionable.
It's a good movie with a bad concept.
But for the concept, I think they do good at, like, treading the line the right way.
It was a very... Because very tight rope.
It doesn't work if it's not Knoxville, I don't think. Because no. he can obviously be, like... looking stupid and make it work.
Yeah, he somehow made that like endearing ish.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's a very big ish. There's a very big ish in that movie.
Yeah, I don't think a movie like that gets made today.
Yeah. Like somehow, I don't know, because like Knoxville got Robert Downey Jr. away with it. You know
that's
what I mean?
True.
Like
that's okay. All
it is. He made that character that endearing and like that you could overlook the complete disregard for political correctness.
Are we talking about Jackass Johnny Knoxville?
Yeah.
Oh.
He's in a movie that has to do with the Special Olympics.
Where he Ooh. Pretends to be a contestant in the Special Olympics to try to win the gold.
This doesn't sound good.
But honestly, as bad as it sounds, you watch it and you like it works somehow. Like they do it. In a tasteful way. It's hard to explain. Yeah, you just have to see it.
He doesn't realize how difficult it would be and how great the people around him are.
And he takes a face turn.
Yeah. It's a full heel to face.
Yeah.
Okay. I probably won't ever watch it.